Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and I'm Pastor Schulze. Our text today is once again in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. It says there, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be manifest in him." Let us pray. Father, we pray now for thy divine anointing on the declaration of thy sacred word, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we noticed the story of the healing of this blind man in the context of the preceding chapter. In chapter 8 we find Jesus engaged in a dialogue with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees becoming more and more upset with our Lord, eventually saying that Jesus had a devil and finally taking up stones to kill him. And last week we marveled that although Jesus got this tremendous barrage of hate, resentment, and animosity coming his way, as he was leaving the temple, he still saw the needs of other people. He did not become absorbed with his own problems, with his own rejection, but rather it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And I told you the Greek word being employed here indicates that what Jesus saw here and the blind man was more than first meets the eye. He saw this man not only from a physical perspective, but also from a spiritual perspective. And immediately he attended to his need. The point I stressed last week, dear ones, is that yes, sometimes we are treated like Jesus. We are rejected, we are despised, we're hated, we are resented or persecuted. But the real test is when we are treated like Jesus, do we then also react like Jesus? Other than finding a juniper tree under which we allow depression to overcome us, do we, as our Lord Jesus, continue in our ministry in helping others as if nothing ever happened to us? This, my friend, is really being Christ-like. We notice that there's nothing that could stop Jesus from doing the work of God. There's nothing that should stop us from doing the work of God likewise. Well, it is time for us to go on now with this great text and to consider why this man was born blind. As soon as the disciples of Jesus saw this blind man, they asked our Lord, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? There was a strong belief among the Jewish people that most suffering was a result of sin, that it was special sins. The Jew realized that we all are sinners. He was reminded of that by his need to come to the temple 3 times a year to offer sacrifice for sins. But he believed that blindness, a person being born in blindness, certainly had to be the result of a special sin, of an exceeding extraordinary bad sin. And I believe that's the position that many of us take today, isn't it? When we are in special suffering due to a certain calamity, like an accident, or when we are suddenly struck with a deadly disease, our first thought seems to be, as believers of God, Lord, is there anything that I've done wrong to deserve this? And so we begin a soul searching, and that's good. For there's enough background in the Bible to cause us to think that way. There are many times when people were especially disobedient that the judgment of God came upon them. You see, this text is so important because it teaches us that not all calamities that we are made to bear are the result of sin in a special way. There are people who are born into the world with blindness, with deafness, deformities, and handicaps for no other reason but that their affliction is for the glory of God. There are people who throughout life experience sudden afflictions for no other reason but that these afflictions be for the glory of God. The most classic illustration of this is Job. Job did not sin and did not through sin bring upon himself his awful state of misery. The Bible says that Job was a perfect man, an upright man in all his ways. Here God shows possibly the most perfect man on the face of the earth in order to use him as an instrument of suffering to teach all of us how God wants us to suffer. So, dear ones, we must not look at all suffering as an enemy. Malcolm Muggeridge, the great English Christian writer, said on his deathbed, "All that I've ever learned in life has been through suffering. We learn nothing. Spiritually speaking, we learn nothing of value through prosperity. We learn all our great lessons that we need to learn to walk with God through suffering. A child learns nothing of value if you spoil it, but a child learns great lessons if it is permitted to suffer." All the great saints of God you see in the Bible from Genesis through the Revelation have gone through the school of suffering, and they never become great saints to be used of God had they not gone through the school of suffering. I tell you, dear ones, if you have a pastor who's been a spoiled brat, he's never had to suffer, he's not going to do your church much good. But if you have a pastor in your pulpit who's gone through the fires and he's learned to suffer early in life, you have somebody worth listening to. Getting back to our text here, the disciples wanted to know why this man was born blind. And Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Of course, it is to be understood that this man did not commit any special sin nor his parents that caused his blindness. God had a plan for this man that he someday, at the appropriate time, would give him sight, and that would be for the glory of God. And in all these years prior to that, this man had to suffer. He had to wait for his moment of glory. Dear one, if you suffer from some calamity, from some disease, from some accident, or from something that you received from the moment of birth, my friend, I want you to know, suffer the best way you possibly can. Suffer with patience. Suffer with faith in God. Suffer as a light for Jesus. For the day of glory, your day of glory and deliverance, will also come. And if it does not come in this life, it will come when you see your Lord. The blind man here was born for this moment that we have in John chapter 9, because in John chapter 8, Jesus declares himself to be the light of the world. In John chapter 9, he demonstrates to all of us through the healing of this blind man that he is the light of the world, because we will see next week that this man not only received physical sight, but spiritual sight. Jesus is the light of the world. Before he received this great deliverance from our Lord Jesus Christ, he was not only blind, however, but he was also a beggar. And that's where the tragedy comes in. Why, my friend, with all the religion inside this temple, with all the Pharisees ministering in this temple area every day, and the Levites and the priests, why did there have to be a blind man at the gates of this temple, the religious center, the most spiritual center of the world, begging for food? You see now why, my dear friends, Jesus condemned Jerusalem and why he predicted the total destruction of the temple and the whole institutional system of the temple, because this religion that was practiced there, all the praying and all the fasting, all the fighting over doctrine, over jots and tittles, all the sacrificing of sheep and goats, was nothing but hypocrisy. It was an abomination in the sight of the Lord, because it would not do what it should have done, including the care of a man born blind, making him beg for his food, on top of that, right at the temple gate. Oh, how wonderful Jesus looks. How wonderful. Doesn't he look better all the time as we go through the Gospel of John? So these Pharisees cast Jesus out of the temple. And the first thing Jesus does, he gets a hold of this blind man, of his need and of his suffering, and he brings him to the light of the world. Yes, he delivers him from his begging. He delivers him from physical blindness unto spiritual sight. Yes, there's nothing wrong about praying and reading the Bible, fasting, sacrificing. That's all part of worshiping God. But my friend, you must not, you cannot leave out the needy ones at the doorsteps of the church if you want to have the religion of Jesus. Let me ask you, my dear friend, how much brighter does Jesus shine now compared to the Pharisees? If they didn't have the power to heal this man, why didn't they at least each take a lunch and bring it with them every day to give to this blind man at the gate of the temple? Is it possible that these Pharisees, had they fed this blind man, had they been in a servant spirit, that perhaps they could have seen Jesus a lot better than they actually did? Well, Jesus looks so much brighter to all of us today. So let me close by reading this hymn to you. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer, than all the angels heaven can boast. Oh, how thankful we are today for this fair, beautiful flower, this pure and holy Savior, rejected in the temple, cast out of the temple, going right on as a friend of sinners, as a healer of the sick and a companion of the sufferer, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind. Yes, I love this Jesus more every time I talk about him, and don't you too? Now, in case some of you like to write to me, I would like to hear from you how Jesus is helping you. I'm sorry I have no money to send you literature or Bibles. All I can offer you is Jesus and my prayers. But if you like to write me, here's my address. Write to Pastor Schulze. Pastor Schulze. Schulze is S-C-H-U-L-T-Z-E. Call to Obedience. Call to Obedience. Post Office Box 299. Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Kokomo, Indiana, 46903, USA. Once again, Call to Obedience, Post Office Box 299, Kokomo, that's K-O-K-O-M-O, Indiana, 46903, USA. And if you have the internet, you may look at other programs we have at www.schulze.org. So thank you for listening to this broadcast. Keep it in your prayers all the time. And I'm Pastor Schulze. Goodbye now. Until next week. In case you would like to visit the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, we meet at 10 o'clock Sunday mornings at 3215 West Judson Road in Kokomo, Indiana.